Today, we're going to jump into this sermon series called Field of Dreams, and it's where baseball and heaven come together. It's a new start of this sermon series that we're going to talk about heaven and start to answer some of those questions and what the scriptures tell us about heaven. And today, we're going to explore what the Bible tells us about heaven on earth. Heaven might look like maybe an infield for some, and an outfield for others. We live in this tension of heaven and earth. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's what we pray when we say the Lord's Prayer. How we live matters. I want you to think about it. How do you want to enter into heaven? That's a big question. How do you want to enter into heaven? We live in this dual citizenship, if you will, as followers of Christ. We pray this bold prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth." It's a now, but not yet. Many of us are familiar with Barbara Bush, and she went on to glory this past week, as many of us know. And I'm sure, like many of you, I have enjoyed just different quotes that have come across the internet and the television. I just want to share a couple of those with you this morning. She is best known for her wit, her sense of humor, her down-to-earth personality, but also her faith in Jesus, her rock-solid faith. And I heard George quoted the other day that they know that she is in heaven, she's at peace, and they're rejoicing where she is right now, up in the arms of Jesus. So I want to share a couple quotes. One of them was, "To us, family means putting your arms around each other and being there." Family was so important to her. The second one is talking about her beloved George. They were married for 73 years. That is a long time, 73 years. And she was quoted as saying, "I married the first man I ever kissed. And when I tell this to my children, they just about throw up." Thought that was pretty cute. And then this one I want to share with you, it's up here on the screen, and I feel that it's really appropriate for what we're talking about today. "At the end of your life, you will never regret not having passed one more test, not winning one more verdict, or closing one more deal. You will regret time not spent with your husband, a friend, a child, or a parent." Right? It's not our accomplishments in life, it's relationships that we have and the time that we spend together. You see, how we live matters. Think about it. How do you want to enter heaven? How do you want to enter heaven? Many of us, we plan for our futures. We start retirement accounts. We have 401ks. We have investments, pensions, savings. And we're living for today, but planning for the future. Now, but not yet. Our parents raised us in a certain way so that we could become independent and one day be able to care for ourselves. Plan for the future as we were being raised, that we would be self-sufficient adults. And for those of you that are raising children, we know it's now, but not yet. Kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, but not yet. Paul wrote to the people of Philippi to encourage them to press on towards the goal, and he reminded them of their citizenship. I'd like to share a passage with you from the book of Philippians, and I want you to hear these words from the Apostle Paul. "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." How do our lives reflect planning for our future in heaven. We have this earthly mindset versus this kingdom mindset. So what does kingdom mindset look like? We are to be spiritually minded, and look at earth from a heaven point of view, and focus on eternal values and not the fads that society instill in us. And then this earthly mindset, sometimes it's not so much what we say, but how we say it. And what comes out of our mouths reflects what is in our hearts. That's a big one. What comes out of our mouths reflects what is in our hearts. I want to share a quote with you this morning from D.L. Moody. He says, "Don't become so earthly minded that you're no earthly good." We live in this tension. There are two verbs that contrast this idea of worldly mindset and kingdom mindset. The world is all about this verb get. We want to get the latest. We want to get the greatest. Getting brings you happiness. But the kingdom of God, it embodies this verb, this action to give. To give. You see, to experience the kingdom, you first have to be a citizen of heaven. And when we travel out of the country, we need our passports, right, to identify ourselves, to show our identity, but also our citizenship, where we're from, our citizenship. And as followers of Christ, our citizenship is spiritual. It is spiritual. 2 Corinthians tells us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here." The kingdom is built on love. Christ is the king who rules over the kingdom. Paul tells us in this chapter to join together in following his example, to pattern your life after mine, he says. Who are the role models in your life? Who do you look up to? Who do you pattern your life after? For each of us, several people come to mind as I mentioned that. People that have made an impact and continue to make an impact on our lives. But I want to flip that around. Who are those that follow your example? We're often our own worst critics. And some of us may be thinking, oh my gosh, who would follow our example, right? Who's going to follow us? But there are people in your lives that look up to you, that look up to you. Do your behaviors glorify God? Do you cause others to trip or to keep their stride? Who are the people that follow your example? You see, the world, it is changed by your example and not your opinion. I'm going to say it just one more time. The world is changed by your example and not your opinion. Amen. See, it just keeps getting better, doesn't it? Be the change that the world needs to see. Be the change that the world needs to see. Paul talks about citizenship in heaven, dual citizenship. We're here on earth, but we're also looking towards heaven. In the movie Field of Dreams, Ray, played by Kevin Costner, hears voices of encouraging him to build a ball field in the middle of a cornfield. I don't know about you, but I could handle Kevin Costner talking to me. How about you? Yep. It's a heaven on earth. We just get a glimpse of that. And in this clip that we're going to watch in just a second or two, Ray is in this financial crisis, and he's about to lose his farm. Let's watch.
All right. This is fascinating. It is. But the fact remains is that you don't have the money to bring the mortgage up to date, so you're still going to have to sell it. I'm sorry, Ray. We got no choice.
Ray. People will come, Ray. They'll come to Iowa for reasons they can't even fathom. They'll turn up your driveway, not knowing for sure why they're doing it. They'll arrive at your door as innocent as children, longing for the past. Of course, we won't mind if you look around, you'll say. It's only $20 per person. They'll pass over the money without even thinking about it. For it is money they have and peace they like.
Ray, just sign the papers.
And they'll walk out to the bleachers. Sit in shirt sleeves on a perfect afternoon. They'll find they have reserved seats somewhere along one of the baselines. Where they sat when they were children and cheered their heroes. And they'll watch the game. And it'll be as if they'd dipped themselves in magic waters. The memories will be so thick, they'll have to brush them away from their faces.
Ray, when the bank opens in the morning, they'll foreclose.
People will come, Ray.
You're broke, Ray. You sell now or you lose everything.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, it's a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. People will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Ray, you will lose everything. You will be evicted.
It and they will come. Who is following your example and not your opinion? What does walking in faith look like for you? Jesus gave the great commission to go and to make disciples. I'd like to suggest that people encounter that first notion of Jesus by our example. They follow your example and want to become followers. They want what you have as followers of Christ. Some of you may or may not be familiar with this term called deism. And deism is this philosophy that there is a creator, but the creator created the world, he created the earth, and then walked away from it and is not present in creation. We believe that God not only created the world, but is in the world with us. And we don't hold that belief of deism. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell among us. God is with us as we navigate this thing called life. Now, what I'm going to share with you here in just a few moments is a story, and I want you to pay close attention to what I'm saying. I don't believe in fortune tellers, I don't believe in the crystal ball, I don't believe in palm readers, all that kind of good stuff, but I do believe that God works through people. God works through people. And some might call them prophets. Prophets are people that God speaks through somebody. They're a prophet for God and they speak on behalf of God. And also I believe there are angels on earth. There are people and there are situations where, you know what, somebody shows up at the right time. And I believe that God sends angels into our lives. And again, not into fortune tellers, crystal ball, palm readers, but I do believe that God works through people. Now, in my profession, I have a lot of conversations with folks that want to know what happens when we die, right? Want to know what heaven is like. And our trust is in Jesus and the resurrection. Just as Jesus was resurrected, we too will be resurrected. And when we see Jesus, we transition from this life to the next. And we'll be reunited with other believers in heaven. I want to share a story with you. Someone had asked me a question. We were having a conversation, and I wanted to share it with you this morning. This is somebody that, again, I was having a conversation with, and she owns her own business, right? And she has clients in this business, and usually there's a couple times a year where they have to pay their like renewal subscription type of thing. And she keeps her business life and her professional life separate, right? She doesn't intermix the two. And when she was married, her husband would always bring her yellow roses. It was one of her favorite things. And as time went on, there were some issues in the marriage, and they ended up divorcing. And again, there was a lot of circumstances around the divorce. And it was a couple of months after that had happened, and she still cared for him very much. But unfortunately, he ended up taking his life because of those particular circumstances. And it was devastating to her and to the family. And her prayer was that to know that he was okay. She continually prayed that prayer for months and even years to know that he was okay. Because sometimes in life, we are fortunate to be with someone that we've lost, that we love, that we're able to say those goodbyes. But sometimes there are tragic circumstances where that doesn't happen. And so again, she had kept her business life and her personal life very separate. And this woman came into her office who happens to be, you know, a client. Again, she knows who she is, but not any type of relationship. And she came into her office and she shut the door and said, I've got something that I want to tell you, and I have been hesitant to tell you this, but it just keeps nagging and keeps coming back. And she wanted to tell her that she had been in contact or some type of experience with this person's former husband. And so immediately she was taken aback and was leaning in, listening to what she had to say. And this person said to her, I come with two things to share from your former husband. The first is to tell you that he's okay. And it gave her such great peace to hear that she's okay. It was an answer to prayer. And the second thing was, is when the woman walked into her office, she brought her yellow roses to bring her comfort. And she shared this as a message from her former husband and to let her know again that he was okay. Again, I don't share this with you to say that, again, this is not about fortune tellers, palm readers, all of that, but I do believe that God speaks to us through a variety of means, through a variety of means. How does God speak to you through others? We think of Kevin Costner, too, in that cornfield, right? God can even speak to us in a cornfield. We've got this dual citizenship, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we live in this tension of now and not yet. And we believe that God is with us, dwells among us, and speaks to us through a variety of ways. Paul speaks in his letter to the Philippians with passion and urgency in this letter. He says, join together by his example to keep your eyes on those who live like he does. Some have this earthly mindset, but our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there. Each day we wake up is a gift from God. That is why we call it the present. And we live with this spiritually minded mindset. We live in this beautiful tension of now but not yet. Let your kingdom come as it is in heaven here on earth. God is with us as we press on towards the goal. Sometimes it's not easy, but he is with us. Some of us go on to glory way too soon in life, and others live into an older age. We know that there's two things that are certain in life, don't we? Death and taxes. Death and taxes. But as Christians, death isn't death. It is good news this morning. Death isn't death. It's new life. It's a new beginning. Revelation 21:4 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more pain, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying. The old order of things will pass away. Paul says, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. You see, there's more to this life. And if we do it right in Christ's kingdom, this life is preparing us for what's next. If we think about Field of Dreams, listening to the voice of God, modeling our actions as followers of Christ, and have this spiritual mindset, we live out the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Put me in, coach. How